The Vox Markets Podcast.
Welcome to Taking Stock. It's 12 o'clock. It's the 16th of January, 2024. Johnny Boy's here. You're all right, John?
Not too bad. How you doing?
Not too bad. John just had a heck of a boast then. He said, I got a massive watch list.
Well, I did. I spent yesterday flicking through 1,500 FTSE listed companies. Mainly looking at the charts, actually. Looking at the charts.
Yeah.
To see whether I like the look of anything. And think companies that I know I like and have looked at before. So I just sort of put them all on a big list.
Looking to
be ready, just to start doing a bit of a cull of that list.
That's it. I've always said, you know, the trouble with investing is option paralysis. There's too many companies to research. Like I said, if you look around about 2,000 companies listed, pretty much, like even if you one a day, you know, 365 days a year, it'll take you a couple of years to get through them all. So what you need to do is get a screener, first of all, and think what kind of companies I want to avoid and start weedling them out. You know, say I want good companies of this or good margins, growth, whatever.
Yeah,
and then then just like watch them for a while. And in a bear market like this, you can still take your time when they release news. Like, for example, a good example, actually, I've got a little bit defensive, but like I said, yesterday, you could companies release news, good news, and you know, if they travel a little bit, it'll come off. So it's always worth waiting. And in fact, yesterday, Ramsden, so a very interesting sector, because I know you own H&T, so looking at that sector, because I think it's a bit of a contrarian play. The economy is not going to get any easier, even if there's the warning about interest rates coming down. The markets may rally a little bit, but real business, fundamentally, I think, is still going to struggle, because it'll take a while for interest rates to come down. You've got the cost of living crisis going on, you know, people tightening their belts, companies with debt as well. So I think those kind of areas where, you know, like H&T, pawn shops, and price of gold is going up, so that'll benefit them, all that kind of stuff. They're going to do quite well, I think, in a bit of a downturn, you know, those kind of companies. So I'm just looking at over the next 12 months and maybe beyond that then, go for more cyclical stocks and taking a bit of a hammering. But it's about sort of positioning a portfolio and looking at things, what, you know, what will benefit when. And just taking time, because we can take time. It's not in a bull market. Yeah. Previously, in bull markets, things tend to rally like crazy. Microcap stocks off a bit of good news. They continue. In bear markets, they don't. They come back. They always come back, you know, so you can take your time, can't you? Is your watch list bigger than my watch list, Jeff?
I have no idea.
Massive one, you said.
I have no idea what's on your watch list.
I've just added
another company on it to it, Begley's Trainer on that.
But
you know, strangely, even though, you know, we are expecting, you know, an uptick in insolvencies and businesses in distress, it's not been doing too well.
I'm sure I've owned Begley before, thinking in the last downturn it's going to really take off. It never sort of did. And one of your favourites, John, biggest riser today, FTSE 100, it's Ocado.
Well, they had some decent numbers.
Yeah.
They had a decent Christmas. And I think they've been helped along. You know, their retail business is essentially a partnership with Marks & Spencer.
I don't even know how it works, really. So I know they've got quite a sort of futuristic sort of fulfillment centre that's all robots and stuff.
That's right. That's right. But they span their retail side of things. So you know, they did used to work with Waitrose, if you remember. And then if they finished that arrangement, finished, and now they, mainly because Waitrose actually took their online delivery in house. But they now work with Marks & Spencer, and we'd already had a good trading update from Marks & Spencer. You know, we knew that they had a good Christmas, and obviously, you know, that's reflected in this statement as well. But now, I guess the interesting thing in this statement more than anything is that they've actually swung back to EBITDA profitability.
Yes, that was just going to highlight there. So the focus on costs, because they are you know, a £5.6 billion company. They've rallied a lot on hype, you know. It's one of the biggest hope hype potential stocks I can think of. But like I said, the fact they now, they said the focus on costs has translated through to our bottom line, returning to positive EBITDA for the full year. So that'll be good. So I assume, because, you know, it wasn't a huge, I mean, they're okay, the numbers, not a huge upticks. Average basket size, look at that. That's gone down a bit. That's interesting, isn't it? When you're looking at people tightening their belts.
Well, volumes across the year are down, but obviously pricing is... Let's help the top line. I still don't like the company.
No. It does move around a bit. FTSE 100 down 0.4%. FTSE 250 less so, 0.14%. AIM All Share, again, a couple of days, it's been, you know, it's contrarian playing. I do feel like almost like, you know, the big sell-off has happened in AIM. And it's fallen more than any other indices, of course. So maybe, you know, it's done the hard yards. It's felt the pain, maybe. But Burberry rebounding a bit there, Experian up. Pearson, Rio Tinto, what's the fallers today? Downgraded, haven't they? Right, by JPM.
Is that right? Is that what's happened? Yeah.
Yeah, it was on Vox. I read that. I just read it on Vox just now. So they've been downgraded by JP. They're saying.
See, I always find it fascinating how much those big broker downgrades actually can be in share prices. It's quite astounding.
Exactly. And it's right here if you want to read it on Vox. And they do say that essentially they do mention that, you know, CoStar buying on the market and that they'll ramp up their investment on the market and make it more of a challenge for market share. And they do say they don't think they'll be likely to grow 7% EBITDA growth. It's increasingly hard to justify the valuation of 16.2 times estimated 2024 EV EBITDA. They are the market leader, though. But they're operating. Margin will go below 70%.
It's not a bad operating margin, really.
I know.
I mean, that's one way to look at it. You know, if a company does have, you know, very, very high margins, you know, that on the one hand can be,
yeah,
it's seen as a positive. You know, it's obviously this is a very efficient business, very profitable business model. But when you get companies with very high margins like that, then you know, there is the temptation for other companies to go, I want a bit of that margin.
Yeah, exactly. It shows you that they're a market leader, doesn't it? You know,
it also shows you that there's major profits to be had in that industry, yes. And hence, you know,
competitors
might come into that market. Yeah. Now, there was a concern many, many years ago that Google would try and come into to you know, the sort of the estate agency platform market, and it tried and it failed. So, you know, I guess the thinking was for a long time that if Google can't do it, no one can. But that's not true. And, you know, if you put some capital behind on the market, if you put some capital behind Zoopla, which, you know, is a great platform as well, it does, you know, it does certain things that Rightmove can't as a buyer. So, I understand why there's concern about competition and why, you know, that margin might be an attraction to competition in this industry.
Yeah, well, it's interesting to see why Google can't really do that, isn't it? Maybe it's a bit more complex, you know, just the market. But do you think it's more an aggregator? You think you'd be able to do that? I suppose they can't.
It's specialism. Yeah. So, you know, Google was trying to come at it with this sort of like one-size-fits-all thing.
Yeah, generalized.
And actually Rightmove knew its market, the UK, very, very well indeed, so was able to fend them off. But that's not necessarily the case with the other competition that's out there.
Yeah, the chart of on the market, not looking the best. It's, you know, slowly grinding lower.
On the market's been taken out. That chart looks great.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, everyone, sorry, forgive my housekeeping, omissions here, but thanks for joining us live. By all means, comment. Have you seen anything today news-wise we can have a look at? Hit that thumbs up button if you like the kind of content we're providing. And don't forget, download the Vox Markets app if you haven't already. voxmarkets.co.uk/app and subscribe to the channel. Hit the subscribe button right now if you haven't. So Hannah just said, did I miss here? Is Rio downgraded? No, not Rio. Rio wasn't.
Rio had a trading update today.
Yeah. Afternoon, chap says Greg. Afternoon, Greg. Matthew, Card Factory selling off on great news. Thank you, Mr. Market. 3 buys already and 2 more limit orders set. Yeah, let's look at Card Factory, because it did seem to me, I was surprised. I suppose I've said this before and people won't agree with me, but the big run has happened in Card Factory, I believe. And so, you know, anything that comes up now, and I say really blow it out of the market with unusual figures, they've had a good massive rise. You're always going to get people taking a bit of profit here. The figures are good, though. I mean, look at that. It's total sales, you know, for the year up 10.2%. And even Christmas trading was good. Outlook, they said they're above top end of expectations.
That's the top end of expectations. Yeah. I guess what some investors may have been hoping for was that they would be above expectations.
But
that's not the case. That's the risk when something has had a strong run. The expectation is that you want earnings upgrades, and they're not here today.
Yeah, Yeah. I mean, if you look at this, just where it's come from since, in fact, this time sort of last year, so October, it you know, it has done 150%, and you know, for a mid cap stock that was out of favour, it's quite good, and so it's gonna be hard now to break that top line, almost resistance at 115, one pence. Yeah, but you often get these liquidity events. Like I said, people can take a bit of profit when they know there's liquidity in the stock because they've released a trading update. You can get this and it can resume. But I wouldn't be surprised if it goes in the trading range for a while now, and just consolidates for a bit before it takes a leg up higher. But those trading ranges can last for a long time. I say it's not too bad if you're being paid a dividend. Do they pay? I don't think they do. Do they? Do they pay a dividend?
Their forecast yield is one and a bit percent. But you know, they're actually prioritizing paying off debt. If you look at their balance sheet, you know, their net debt position has fallen from 288 million in 2020 to 161 million today. So a lot of their free cash is going into improving the strength of the balance sheet, which I think is very, very sensible. And you know, shareholders being rewarded with a small dividend and capital growth. But you know, there will be dividends, high rate dividends in the future, you would expect as the balance sheet, as the net debt comes down.
Okay, let's have a quick look at the front page of Vox here. Blue Star Capital saws on positive update. I think they were one of the risers today. They were, yeah,
big riser.
27%. Yeah, so only obviously a 6 million market cap, but they talk about you know, Disney and the partnerships there, and Satoshi Pay going forward.
Yeah.
So, good news there. Equals, again, come out with some decent figures, but it's dropped a little bit. I don't know why this is, what the thought was. Paul's done a piece on this, but so if you look at the figures here, sometimes I find it.
I'm looking at run. Look at the run since the beginning of.
Yeah.
Well, since the pandemic, you know, it's actually funny enough. It's back to where it was before the pandemic. It's just come off a little bit. But that's obviously you have to go back a long way to look. Go back.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Well, do you know what?
There you go.
What was it called? I can't think. It was called before. Fairfax. I used to interview him, and I remember taking off. And I thought I quite like these. But it's one of the stocks where sometimes, like, it's too big a watch list and you just forget about it. And there was something you did, and I didn't get in. And I think Paul then got in. Like I said, it's had a cracking run. It's coming back into this range here. But what are they saying? Is it 36.4% change on the same period last year? 95 million. It's all looking good. But they obviously want to be. Chats and they about being taken over, maybe. So, what else is going on there?
There's another payments company had an update. They're Camp Payments.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I put those
again,
on the list.
Again, a very, very strong statement, but the shares off a little bit.
Yeah, but do you know what? I looked into Camp, they've had a massive fall off, right? They've probably warned a while back. We talked about this actually when they're a thing. And what I didn't like, well, I do like the growth here. It's like, it is a payments company. Like I think they're in developing countries, aren't they? And like I said, they're only listed back in July 2023. So I went back and I didn't understand it. Let me go back to the results here. Look at this. Results, 6 months, okay? So 6 months. Now, top line all is good. Total income up by 94%, 71 million. EBITDA, 39.9 million. So then I went down to the cash flow statement, right? I thought, what? I don't understand this. I'll just scroll down. So net decrease in cash and equivalents, 40 million. Net cash used in operations, 31 million. I thought, hang on a sec. I don't like that. So I couldn't marry through together. You know, the cash outflow, and EBITDA positivity, apparently. And what's going on here? I don't understand that. So whenever I see that, I just stand back. If you don't understand something, you know, because it should be similar. You know, I mean, it's not going to be exactly the same, the cash flow and the income statement, but it should align somewhere. Now, it doesn't.
Yeah.
I thought, what is going on there? I don't understand it, you know, and it's a little bit different because, so they are assets and liabilities and all this stuff. So it's a little bit more complex, but I just thought, no, if you don't understand something sometimes, just don't get involved, you know? So, but like I said, they are down a bit. They have a little rally though from that profit warning that came off. They've already tanked. Yeah. So, what else is there? Oh, by the way, go on, say again.
I said they seem to have a lot of debt.
Yeah. Well, let's look at this just quickly. I want to look at this sort of top line figure before we get into more companies. This is quite interesting because I said world wage data, tomorrow's CPI, inflation data. What's the forecast? Forecast is 3.8% for the year, 3.9% was previous. But this will be encouraging for the Bank of England, I think, because they're saying now the worry was inflation. You know, it'll become baked in if wage inflation kept going up because people just spend more, of course. Mm. But it's the slowest pace in almost a year, under signs of gradual cooling of the inflationary pressure in the labour market, slowed for the third release in a row. That's a trend now, isn't it? When you think about it, we come three in a row. And the weakest increase in regular earnings since the 3 months to January. It's quite interesting here. Look at this. And also vacancies. ONS release showed vacancies fell for the 18th time in a row in the 3 months of December, dropping by about 49,000 for the quarter, which is quite an incident and not good. But it's good in, as far as inflation is concerned, because, of course, less people hiring, there's obviously less demand coming in for goods and services. So
it gives the bank a bit of scope for rate cuts, potentially.
Yeah.
I think the pound is down today as a result of this.
Yes. Well, look at bonds. Exactly. Oh, in fact, that's just changed. All the British bond yields were down at the moment, but I don't know why they just ticked back up. But nevertheless, like I said, if you look at the 2 year, that was the recent low at 4% pretty much. And it did rally a bit, but it's coming back down to that, rolling over a bit. Americans going the other way a little bit. They're sort of going up. And so.
Just to go back to the wage thing, there's some good analysis of this data, the wage data, from Kathleen Brooks, who's an analyst at XTB.com. We're now publishing that through the site every day, so have a look at that. Okay. More good analysis on the site.
Yeah. So is that on here? Where's that? In fact, let me scroll down. So the most read, most is Ramsden's from yesterday's. Quite that got me. Canadian Overseas Petroleum, because a nightmare that's been. Vast is up. And completion of transaction regarding things. Did you look at THG? I mean, there's a lot of people into that. Fourth quarter trading of the period, Q4 fully trading in line with guidance. Group return to continuing revenue growth 1.1%.
Way, which is below inflation.
Yeah, well, is that growth really? I know.
No.
New expanded Ingenuity partnerships. I mean, if you scroll down here, there's a lot of minus figures. I mean, that they've only sort that table out there format. It's just too many figures in it, bunched up, spread out a bit.
It's a strange company, and it's what I just can't get my head around. You know, some of this is product, you know, so THG Beauty is, it sells products. Nutrition sells products. Ingenuity is a platform business.
Yeah.
You know, which sells, it's sort of like a Shopify type platform. So I struggle to get my head around exactly what this business is trying to be. And therefore, I would avoid it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you look at this, I mean, I'm trying to find out which is the most relevant columns and rows here. But I suppose it's year on year. And you see here, you know, down 8.7%, 8.4% there. So it doesn't seem like there's growth there. So I'm a bit confused there. Active order values, that they seem to have a 4 year change. So they're almost 4 year change, is it? From a 4 year change, they've gone up. But year on year, as you see, total revenue's gone down, continuing revenue's gone down, average order value's gone up. That's inflation, of course. Average order value, total order's gone down 4%, and active customers gone down 7.6%. So yeah, it's going to look good on a 4 year chart because they started from base and maybe acquiring companies. But, you know, year in year, that's still going down, isn't it?
Well, the vast bulk of their beauty business was acquired. Beauty.
Yeah.
Which is a great business. But so I just say the overall group is
It's a mess.
To try and get your head around it as an investor, I think, is very, very hard.
Yeah. Ectech announced a bit of a financing round has happened as drawdown of bank approved by the Italian MDC. I don't really know much about that. I know they rallied strongly a few years back.
Yeah, these are these waste of power.
So they've got this, the Banco del Fucciano, a historic private bank group based in Rome, has approved the company's drawdown of a loan facility of 2.9 million announced by the company on the 4th of September. So they approved that. So that's rallying. Where is that on the charts? I know over a while back, a few people made money on that. I think a few people held on to them, thinking they'd continue, but it didn't. Yeah, so look at that. That rally there back in 2020. It went from literally 40 pence up to, you know, well, three, eight bagger, seven bagger. And since then, down another 3.4 pence. So, yeah, people still holding on to the hype there. But that even like a 20% rally now doesn't even register compared to...
That's what I was saying the other day. Like, sometimes these large moves are blips in long-term charts.
Yeah, yeah. Harbour Energy, up 6.5% today. I don't know anything about Harbour Energy. Do you, John?
No.
No. What is Harbour Energy, Greg? John, you must have enjoyed CRN trading update today. Not on Vox website, unfortunately. Oh, that was Khan. Cairn Holmes. Have they come up with a trading update? I know Crest Nicholson came out with a warning.
They did.
Yesterday.
No, Cairn Holmes was Cairn Holmes. I mean, we spoke about house builders the other day. Cairn Holmes was the one that I pointed out that, you know, we'd spoken about. Oh, I'd spoken about Paul some time ago. Cairn Holmes is folks in Ireland. And, you know, it's. So we had two trading updates from the properties, the house building sector. So we had an update from Taylor Wimpey. Which has seen quite a sharp drop off in completions, whereas Cairn Homes, we had quite a sharp increase. And they also report having a record sales pipeline. It's worth about 900 million euros, 2,500 homes. It's unlike house building in the UK, this is now supported by government shared equity schemes, really, you know, to get more first time buyers involved in this market. Because there is a really, you know, catastrophic shortage of affordable housing in Ireland. Cairn is, you know, it's in the sweet spot to help deliver that. It's also spoke about, if you look at the end of the statement, it spoke about demand for affordable rental homes. And I have seen pictures of queues, you know, in Dublin of people like trying to get themselves a rental property. So you know, the allusion to moving into the rental market, I think is quite interesting for this company as well. Could be more to go here. I think this is the nice play in the house building sector for me. Yeah, albeit it's in the Irish house building sector.
Yeah, look at that cracking chart as well. You can see there, the low pretty much, well, the second low this year or in the last 2 years was down here. Then had a higher low, and then it broke the 200 moving average. Always seems to come back. We have a brick neck. And then you can see that previous high here, it broke that. And since it's tested a little bit, it was nice to go up and broke several levels again, four times tested this level at £1 odd, broke up again, so now 120. So it's looking nice there. Anna says here, where is it? Card Factory is the only one on the high street. Surely a moat. I don't know if that is it a moat because there's online. I mean, so I suppose you can walk in trade, but is it? There's plenty of competition at the online, isn't there? And is there a reason why they're the only one?
I mean, I've never bought a card off of Moonpig or whatever.
I have all the time because
Funky Pigeon.
No, Moonpig I do because essentially it looks like you put in a bit of time and thought, and doesn't it takes a minute?
No, you don't. You haven't. You put all your mate's birthday, all your family's birthdays into a calendar, and it does it for you. I think everyone knows this, but you know. So, but like, if you're as organised as I am, you end up realising it's, you know, you've left it far too late to buy someone a card, and you're back into a shop. So actually, you know, having shops in that industry is a good thing. All I would say is, I mean, how much of a moat is it in an industry where you have WH Smiths? You have supermarkets with lots of cars. You have lots of little independents.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Cars as well. You know, it's not exactly.
I suppose they are the only ones that specialise in. Yeah, the only ones specialise in that. But like you say, there are lots of shops that do overlap with their business model, isn't there? Like supermarkets, all that stuff. Yeah,
I've not bought anything in a Card Factory. What I have noticed about Card Factory shops is that, you know, more frequently than now, they tend to appear on trading estates, bigger shops, you know, the bigger format. This is a feature, I think, of the retail sector as a whole. It's one that Qzone that we spoke about recently is that, you know, and I realised I did a bit of an injustice, a disservice the other day when I spoke about their cash outflow, because what they are doing is investing in their estate and moving from sort of, you know, smaller high street locations into big box formats. And those big box formats are more profitable. And they're where people go to shop these days. You know, high streets are unfortunately dying.
Yeah. Informer said, why are you wasting your time looking at trading updates? Just give up like I have. Exactly. And I always say to my kids, listen, quitters don't win, winners don't quit. You know, we are in a horrible market, Informer. I understand. I've almost checked out several times the last couple of years thinking, what's the point of this? But sooner or later, it will come good. And you can guarantee pretty much it'll come good, but the month after you give up. You know, so be careful about giving up there.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Here's the thing. I used to be an analyst. I used to work at a stockbroker, yeah. and I left that industry, not by entirely by choice. It has to be said, in redundancy called. And I left in the beginning of 2003, that was the bottom of the market.
Yeah. It's almost like when despondency really sets in, it's almost like you are literally weeks or months away from the bottom of the market. And having said that, despondency has set in with me several times in the last 2 years, to the point where I'm banging my head against the wall thinking, what the hell is going on with this market? It's the worst market I've ever been in, ever. I've been in, you know, .com and the great financial crash, but they didn't seem to last as long. And I wasn't as fully invested as I am now. I didn't spend as much time on it. So maybe I had other jobs that going on that took my mind off it.
This has been a brutal bear market.
I saw this company on, you said it, it says Mike said, thought IQGO looked great yesterday, going cash flow positive and profitable, highly rated and rapid growth, so risky. But I thought doesn't look out of hand with me. Yeah, I did look at this, and oddly, I don't know why I saw it, because it was one of the most followed, and it didn't have a price next to it. What's the ticker there? Is it I don't know what it is. IQ something? IGQ? IG? Someone give me the ticker for that, because I can't think what it was. But yeah, I did sort of read, a quick read of what they did, IQGO. Let me just search that for a second.
I know Jamie Constable, his morning, from Singer, his morning note, I get, or evening note, in fact, had a look at this. He likes the company, a little bit worried about value, not cheap. But
yeah, it was big up there.
12% upgrades today of lots of cash, 11 million net cash, which 24% ahead of forecast. Two contract wins this year. Still no idea what they do.
Yeah, so here it is. A leading developer of geospatial productivity and collaboration software for telecoms and utility networks is pleased to know. Now, I did see, I did look at that. That's why I looked at it, because I looked at the figures. I thought, is that half year? And it wasn't half year, it was full year. And I thought, they're not cheap. So maybe the growth is obviously the reason why it's so highly valued. 66% growth, 56% organic, which is quite decent for a company of that size. I mean, you normally see that kind of growth on a smaller company. So net retention for the period, 132% on a constant currency basis. Record intake, record order intake. Yeah, so it's one of the things that are obviously worth looking at, because at the moment, to me, that's, I don't know what the chart is looking like.
I do know this company because we've written about it before.
Oh, right.
And you know, there's a lot of companies out there, and I forget what we
wow, look at that. That's a heck of a trend.
Yeah, do you know what? It's really, it's quite interesting, because what they're doing basically is they essentially help large companies that have sort of physical infrastructure, pipes, you know, fiber networks, that kind of thing, really know where their assets are. Which is important, because, you know, digging up the streets when you have to do some work is very, very disruptive. And essentially what they are is helping utilities, telcos, that kind of thing, minimize the disruption they cause from this kind of stuff, and manage their networks of infrastructure much more efficiently.
I wouldn't be interested in that. I've missed that out. Missed on that. There was huge upside there, but I've missed on most of that.
We're not going to have this argument again.
But I'm saying, in fact, didn't we talk about the 200-day moving average? You can also look at it the other way, right? When the gap above the 200-day moving average is quite large, be careful, it's due a pullback. Because look at me, there's plenty of time it's hit that 200-day moving average, come back and rallied again. So why not wait for that to happen? Because it will happen. You know, shares don't go straight up. If you like the company so much, just wait a bit, you know, have a bit of patience, because there it could be a double top. It's really maybe topping out a little bit. It needs a bit. I mean, let's be honest, when you see a company rallying at that much gap between the two, it needs a breather. It needs to consolidate a bit, because be careful. So, yeah, growth is good, but like I said, well, I've not looked at the valuations on that. Do you have any stats for valuations, John, on that?
Let's have a look what we got. I mean, it's not cheap. It's not cheap, but it's only just sort of shifting into that. That ramp up mode. So it's financials forecast. Let's see what we got.
Adjusted EBITDA 6.4 million. There we are. So it's 20 times, pretty much 20 more than 20 times EBITDA.
Yeah, 72 times earnings for 23 to 30, right. 38 times earnings for 24. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of expectation built into this. But as Jamie points out, the expectation is that this is a massive, massive opportunity globally. And IQGO has the opportunity to be a global leader in this space. You know, network infrastructure is always being built. In whatever industry, you know, we know, for example, in the UK, there is an enormous amount of electricity transmission infrastructure that needs to be built, and that's the same everywhere. So yeah, I guess the hope that you know in this price is that that this goes global, and it goes from being far bigger than a 200 million company, which is why as I say, let's not have that discussion again.
No. But what I would say, right, if you see a company is you're suffering FOMO because it's rallying like hell and you can't get in, I would do what, in fact, Riffisoft just said. You put a little bit in, a small time.
Yeah, but dabble.
And then almost you'd be surprised how much it takes the fear of missing out off you. And then if it goes up more, you can put a little bit more in. But I mean, generally, when you have something that's got a breakneck growth, it will have a pullback.
I mean, I look at that share price and what has it done? It's tripled. But you know what the real holy grail of investors is, you know, the sort of 10 back. You want a 10 back. So you know, if this has the potential that is hoped, then there is a long way for it to go.
Yeah.
Long way for it to
go. Yeah, but even 10 back has come back a lot, you know. because it's just the time period.
We're not having this discussion again.
I think we're going for a different amount of returns. I do focus on higher risk stocks, so I want a bigger return. So, you know, I'm not.
Well, I'm saying you can't. We're going down the same path.
They'll become bigger in the future. But I mean, look at that, even from this level, it's pretty much doubled this year. So, and it's not, no, not this year, but look at it. From 2024, it's gone from 210 to 330. So it's almost like you know, you can't be driving at 200 miles an hour non-stop. You've got to pull over. Even the Le Mans drivers can't do that.
Data is such an important part of the modern world. You know, data is the new oil. I've heard said before. Look, for example, of a company that is big in data and you know just keeps growing is RELX. Now it's a very large company. It's arguably the only real tech company listed on the FTSE 100, and you know, some people might argue that Ocado is, and I would disagree. But look at the chart on RELX. You know, go back 10 years. It's just weird, you know, if it's in the right sweet spot, and data is one of those sweet spots, mm-hmm. then you know there is the scope to just keep growing.
Yeah,
growing and growing and growing, especially if the opportunity is a global one.
Yeah,
we have to go back a lot.
If you have fear of missing out, even with that, I mean, if you look at the times, it's gone way above that 200-day moving average. It's come back. You
know, shares doubled between 2015, or trebled, should I say, between 2015 and 2017, and have doubled again since then.
Yeah,
you know, so you know, pick your business model and they'll keep growing.
Yeah. In fact, talking about a company that's done quite well, come back on news today, is McBride. They released a trading update, didn't they? So, where's the guy? There we are. Look, so that's what happens, isn't it? You tend to get that when you have a good run-up, even with good results. They've come back a little bit today with MCB.
McBride, I mean, again, this is one 144. Where, you know, it was a huge... It's been a sort of perennial overachiever, then underachiever. Then it's very cyclical.
Yeah.
As I said, its input costs have been a problem in the past, being largely derived from oil. So the oil price matters. It was a recovery play. You know, many changes of management in this business.
So they supply. What do they supply with it? You know, own brand stuff.
Own branded cleaning products, personal hygiene products. So you know, it was a recovery plan. This is an example where I think where a sort of Chinese whisper has gone around, and private investors start to get interested in it, and that you know becomes a self fulfilling prophecy, and the price goes up. But look at this.
I know. It's nuts. I've said a lot of times, the most important things about a company is growth, pretty much. If you want to shape and rise, value, if you get a good value and good growth. And it also goes to health, efficiency. And I say health doesn't necessarily propel a share price upwards, but it can hold it down if the health is very bad. But look at this here. There's net debt, 145 million. That's their market cap. So it hasn't held them back. So say you've got to pay attention to health sometimes, because if it's a basket case, you can go under. But it's not the kind of thing really that propels share price. But you've got to be careful. As, you know, a good company can go further if it's a healthy company.
Yeah, I just
same as market cap, man.
No. This is a low margin. It's a low margin business.
Yeah,
you know, and its customers are, you know, whilst you know, it might be in the right trend of the shift to own label and some cheaper products, but you know, it's at the behest.
I think we should look down our nose at low margin businesses, John. It's a low margin business.
I don't want it because low margin could be no margin quite quickly. If things move against it, the market moves against it, or costs, you know, get out of control through no fault of management, and you know, we've seen that happening in the last couple of years.
Yeah,
then it can quickly swing to a loss.
Yeah, well, in fact, look at this, right? This is efficient. I look at efficiency as well. There's a health efficiency, all this. I put the numbers through on Ramsden's yesterday because it dropped, right? I said, Look at this. It's a retailer in the right space. But I mean, look at the growth here, right? 27% top line. All growth pretty much on this. The value is very good. Health is very good. Efficiency, even gross margins. They've got websites and stuff there. But 54%. And even return on capital employed, you know, operating margin of 13%. That's cracking. I mean, it's not, you know, the trend is not there yet. But that is a cracking little business there. Well, I was walking the dog and I heard the guy talking. And I mean, I'm drawn to this because you talked about H&T. I thought that's near rival. It's a bit smaller. Oh, and I thought, you say that there are 160 shops. They're most up north, but they are coming down to south. And someone said, what's your target then? And he said, well, people asked me, I said, but I don't know really, but in excess of 300. And I said, and I looked at their financial statement, and they were saying there that they have shops in towns where there are 15,000 people doing well. He said, there are 350 shops in the UK where towns are bigger than 30,000 people. And he said, and all we're looking at, we looked at many sites at the moment, we're just looking for the right units. And I think it's good when you've got a business model like that, where it's pretty much copy and paste. You know, you know what you're doing, each one. As long as you get the right location, you can just copy and paste it. And so I quite like that kind of area, you know, that thing with it as well. But anyway,
H&T's been struggling since I bought it. I'm not entirely sure why, because the metrics look exactly the same. But there you go.
Okay. What size is H&T then? Is that what is that like?
So it's 180 million market cap. So bigger than Ramsden's, but delivers similar. Man, it's probably slightly better metrics, but
no, they're not. I checked them out. I did the comparisons. No, Cal McBride, Microsec is a system there. Microsec Systems is a company, I think, too small to be listed. They've often just trundled along. Oh, in fact, some good news out from this is a big contract actually from Coders.
North Coders,
yeah. So it's worth looking at. They are a 13 million market cap company. Am I reading this right? So it seems like a very decent contract from the Department of Education.
It's a 10-year contract, isn't it? No, 18-month contract.
18 months for 10 million?
Yeah.
I thought, what? I don't know what I did look at them previously. I don't know what their margins are on that. But that's a big contract for a 13 million market cap over 18 months, isn't it? So 3 million, you know. Mm. So also underpins our 18.6% increase in revenue per student. So it's maybe worth looking at. I mean, they have struggled of late. You know, they do train people and they just to code and all that stuff. So they have struggled. I had them on.
Yeah, this 2024 is expected to be their sort of, you know, transition year when the sort of profits start to flow substantially. but I mean, you know, it's interesting. It's a good contract. We know that, you know, UK public expenditure is under a bit of pressure. So, you know, even more impressive, you know, given that backdrop. But it shows they've sort of been in the right place. You know, the government wants to upskill and upskill in specific areas, you know, technology being one of them. So
they want to upskill themselves, the government.
Well, they really do. But I mean, you know, it's over the past few weeks, we've had some pretty nasty updates from the sort of recruitment sector.
Yeah.
But training. I think is slightly different. They've probably been caught up in the sort of poor sentiment towards sex. Another one that's in the training industry, training and specialised recruitment, is Hercules Site Services.
Sorry, let me just quickly chat. There was no news on Harbour Energy there. Someone just said that it is a £2.4 billion company. So what do they say? It was merged. Harbour Energy, a large independent oil producer in North Sea, recently announced a takeover of Wintershall. Yeah, there's no news on that today, though. Just advising us all. Okay, go on. Sorry.
Hercules Site Services is the other one I like in the sort of specialised recruitment and training. Yeah. It's for the construction industry, in the case of Hercules.
Yeah, because we've had some news up from, I think, was it
yesterday?
Page,
you know, all of the big recruitment firms are having a horrible time. But the specialists are doing all right. These numbers were good yesterday.
Yeah, oh, wow, 71%.
Mm.
Gross profit increase 1600. Okay, adjusted EBITDA 4.1. What's this? A year 4.1. What are they then? Market cap of wow. Is that all they are? That's quite decent. That have they got any debt or what? Because that looks quite good, didn't it?
Probably a lot. There you go. Cash in the year end. 4.2.
Don't mention any debt.
They do a couple of things. They specialize recruitment for the construction industry. One of the problems that we've had in labour within construction in the UK is a shortage of skilled labour. So one of the things that they're doing to address this is opening up their training academies, which is great. So it will sort of give them a sort of ready-made supply of staff to place, and then it does some sort of plant hires. These things, suction excavators.
Oh, and add this to my watch list. I was looking at this. Sub 20 million on Vox.
Suction excavator is an amazing thing. Actually, ties into the IQGO thing we were talking about earlier. You know, when you're digging a hole in the road, mm-hmm. Sometimes there's a lot of pipes and wires down there. A very delicate operation, and you know, traditional digging is very difficult. It's very, very risky when you've got sort of critical pipe work down there. So these suction excavators essentially suck the ground out from around these pipes without damaging them. Amazing stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's good.
Okay. Good company.
Yeah, they're getting a bit of profit there. Okay. Marvellous. I just saw an alert on Motor Group. Someone asked me if I ever put alerts on moving averages. Yes, there we are. So Motor. In fact, I was listening to Wicket the Money this morning, and they were saying that, I'm not aware of this, but insurance, car insurance has gone up quite a bit. And so if you are now looking to buy a car, you know, and you're having to get finance and insurance, you know, and car prices are going up a little bit, I think, it's not going to be easy, is it? But I mean, I think once something like that, Motor Point, once the downturn ends and in inflation comes down and interest rates come down, they're very one to look at. You know, once cars become more affordable again and finance become more affordable, it's one of those ones that, you know, highly tuned to interest rates, you know, I think maybe worth a look at. But it's had a bit of a rally.
I was in 2 miles about whether to put this one on my watch list because, you know, that's a savage sell off. You look at some other companies in the sector, like Vertu Motors, for example, when the share price looks a lot healthier than that.
Yeah, they're, I mean, a different model. I said,
it's a different model. This is the auction side of things.
Yeah, I mean, more than franchises. Yeah. He's got franchises. He's out. So, but in fact, Cinch are well. I think Cinch are sort of supporting this because Cinch are, I think, up there holding again today. I think Cinch, you know, they advertise a lot. They're now at 9% on Vertu. I did see this today. I think was it today?
Oh,
my head's going. Ryland owns Cinch, didn't he, of course? There we are. Yeah, Cinch, up to 9%. So they are up in their hill. But I mean, you know, there are several companies, you know, very sensitive to interest rates. And like I said, buying and selling cars at Motor Point, they are. And I think if that, you know, takes a downtrend, they'll rally in anticipation of a more buoyant market looking ahead. Anything else worth looking at? Johnny Boy, seeing.
Oh, I mean, what a day of news! It's so much of it. Spirent had a little, you know, had a horrible profit warning the other day, slightly better than expected. Hitting revised guidance, moving out some of the telco stuff. Shares are up quite a lot. Who else is there? I mean, so much today. Decent updates from DP Poland, Access Intelligence, Journeo's up. Which the only news I've seen from them recently was that Downing Micro.
Down,
micro cap has actually reduced.
Yeah.
I thought they cut a little bit.
Oh, did they? Oh, yeah. No, you're right. They did. Yes.
So, interesting. Eagle Eye business that did make it onto my watch list.
Okay. Yeah, I did look at those. Downing's gone down at 4.58 from 5.89. Yeah, Eagle Eye. So, what do they do again?
Eagle Eye do sort of. Promotional
real-time connection
is promotional them. Activity for super. I said I've got Morrison's big client list, loyalty platforms, that kind of stuff.
Digital offers and rewards. Ah, okay. I think I had these years ago on the podcast. Yeah. Years ago.
Yeah.
Company current customer base comprises of UK grocery, John Lewis, Asda, Sainsbury's, Greggs. Okay. So what the market cap? 162 million market cap. H1 trading update. So decent there. Group revenue up 20%, 24.8% adjusted EBITDA.
Up faster, as you'd expect for a software business. Cash on the up, which is always a healthy sign. The shares are down.
So margin is good. The EBITDA margin 24%.
Nice company.
Decent.
What's the not cheap. Not cheap.
Aye. Are they not cheap, are they? Okay.
No. No. But good.
Okay. All right. Wow. They're a massive rise back in what, from April 2022, the bull market. Yeah. They come off, they are sort of consolidating a bit. So we are. Cool. What else was there? Oh, bear with me one second. There's just a bit of financial news to finish off. Just scroll down. Where is it?
I said, you know, actually, before you do that, there was a company that, you know, the IPO market has been moribund for quite some time.
Yeah.
And I meant to mention it at the end of last week, but didn't because I forgot. But London Tunnels. So we had our first
Basically, I didn't realize it was all these secretive tunnels.
I love these sort of things.
World War. London Tunnels. Let me just get up there. It uses the World War by spies and all this stuff. And they're now going to be turned into tourist areas and so unlocking a hidden legacy here. So these tunnels, and like you scroll down. And
I'm a sucker for this sort of museum.
They can do everything for them. They can turn them into pool areas or war spies, bars.
Well, I guess that's what it was like, you know. So I loved it. I love these sort of things. One of my favourite museums is Duxford.
Hidden Tunnels.
Museum, Duxford, Old Plains. But there's a place in Essex called the Kelvedon Hatch. I don't know if it's open anymore. The Kelvedon Hatch Top Secret Nuclear Bunker. And it's basically one of the sort of regional bunkers that was built during the Cold War for local government. And you could go down in it, and I think I've been there about 3 or 4 times. I will be there for sure.
The tunnels will use the history hidden beneath our feet to deliver new experiences that transpire exploration and imagination. Imagine being able to walk into tunnels built by the British in the 1940s, and so they're designed to protect people from the Blitz. They're changing into sort of these areas around the world. This kind of. Yeah,
I think this sounds amazing. Don't know what the numbers look like, so need to have a bit of a dig around.
First and foremost, you got to think it can't be cheap, doing this. So no. I mean, what kind of numbers are going to get? Visitor numbers, but interesting, very interesting.
Yeah.
History and reimagining history, isn't it? Because you've got that history background there, it gives this gravitas, and then you can obviously just. I imagine it'd be quite popular, for like drinks and.
I think
it'd
be popular.
$220 million
it's
going to
cost to build.
I don't know if you noticed this. This is quite a pinch point. Yesterday, UK's largest nightclub owner called in administrators. There are about 35 clubs across the UK. And they're saying the cost of living is hitting students now, and they're drinking less anyway. But, of a smaller pie, they're spending less. And so they've called in 35, which is... You are getting these sort of red flags in society and stuff like that. But maybe, you do have social competitive socialising bars, which seem very busy. And I think rather than just sit there and drink and dance, maybe people do want to go and, play games against their friends or students or whatever. Because I don't see them complaining. But
it's a horrible sector. There was a, I can't remember the name of it, but there used to be a listed nightclub group, suffered the same fate.
Yeah, these probably took them over because they went bankrupt about 2020, I think. Recom, which is from Finland, some of them, bought them. And so the Recom now owns Attic and Prism brands across the UK, 35, and now they've got into trouble. So they were in trouble for years back.
I guess the closest thing you've got on the market to it now is Revolution Bars. Not technically a nightclub, but nightclub-ish. And their numbers the other day were horrible. It's a really difficult sector. I would not ever touch it.
Yeah, I didn't. So, it's Mohammed Al Aryan talking about the inflation because of the Suez Canal. 12 to 15% of global trade goes through there. But also, this is now fuel retailers forced to share price changes within 30 minutes under pump watch plan. I don't understand what this means. on what? On the website or what? Department of Energy.
Change them at the pump.
Well, so if they, if they put them up or down, they're not put them on the pump. So they're not changing them.
It sounds to me like they've got 30 minutes to change the price on the pumps when they. When the price
so
of fuel
if it
changes.
Goes up, they're not changing them quick enough. Is that what they're saying? So
yeah,
people are coming in thinking they're getting like so and so per gallon, and they're not changing them.
It's like the fiscal drag of motoring, isn't it? And
it's a con, though. It's found that drivers were overcharged $900 million in 2020 due to supermarkets failing to pass on cuts from falling prices.
Yeah.
You know what? I hate the supermarkets. I hate them because they pretend to be consumer friendly, doing everything for the consumer. They're not. They don't care. All they want you to do is consume at their supermarket. So even now, there was a couple of supermarkets that are reducing. It is. But they try and con us into believing they're our friends. They do it all for us.
That's called marketing.
It's not marketing. It's lying.
I think that's called marketing.
No, exactly. Lying. But you've got to be honest. I think I really hate it. Two supermarkets have reduced baby milk, Aptamil now, because it's gone up a lot. They're not doing it. They've got headlines from this. You're right. It's marketing. They don't care about, we're doing it for the babies. No, they're doing it for you to consume at their store. That's it. Mm. They want your money in their pocket. That's it. They're not out for good. But the fact they tend to be on the side of the consumer and care about the consumer, they only care as long as you're spending in their store. That's all they care about.
As a shareholder, you should be very happy with that. Anyway, I would like to know how much taxpayers have been overcharged by government not passing on the effects of inflation quickly enough.
I just hate the duplicitous nature of supermarkets pretending they have our best interests and needs at heart. It's, they haven't. They've got their bank balance of shareholders at heart. That's what they got.
Yeah, well, at least I'd like to know whose interests the government have got at heart. That's another.
I don't know what the heck they're doing. They have no idea what they're doing. But who knows? Thank you, everyone, for watching. Don't forget, big day tomorrow. CPI tomorrow. CPI will be at 7 o'clock in the morning. So, are you coming on tomorrow, John?
I wasn't planning to.
Oh, okay. Well, we can
chat CPI. Maybe.
Okay. Okay, but don't say yes and don't do it because I'm leaving the bridge.
No, I'm going into London tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Here we are. He's going to see the tunnels.
No.
I want to see the London tunnels, how they're getting on. Everyone, thanks very much. Hit that thumbs up if you could, and share, like, subscribe to the channel is important, and download the Vox Markets app, voxmarkets.co.uk/app. Justin, can you share your TradingView screener setup? I've got loads of it. No, I've literally got too many screeners on TradingView. I set one up every day, and I go, I've done it before, I delete them. But I do loads of screeners on there, I find it quite handy, screeners. As does John. In fact, name a screener for Friday if you want, and on the chat there, and we'll come back to you. Anything you want. But thanks very much. See you. Speak soon. Bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.